Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 11th of August. Monday at 9 is All Things Political, and we're happy to have Evan Perez, who is reporter for the Washington Bureau of the Wall Street Journal, this hour of the program today. We have much to talk about. We'll look at the polls, which now show McCain and Obama in a statistical dead heat. Gallup's numbers have Obama 46 and McCain 43. Real Clear Politics national average is about the same. Obama 46.9 to McCain 43.3. What does it mean? Is it significant? The indications were that this was the Democratic year. Do these numbers show that something else is going on? I also was interested, I don't know if you saw the article, Craig Gilbert's story, in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday, in which he has an interview with Senator Russ Feingold, which is extremely interesting. Feingold says that he would rather have Obama for many reasons, but the notion that somehow McCain is going to get in there and be some kind of ideological Newt Gingrich right-winger is a joke. There's no way that he would do that. We'll talk about that. And then I read that article and then went to the web, and Rhonda sent me an interesting piece from – where is this from? TalkingPointsMemo.com. And this person, who obviously follows politics pretty closely, says that he's thought for over a year now that Senator Russ Feingold will be Obama's vice presidential choice. It would get some publicity, and he is a smart guy and would be – an interesting choice, kind of an outsider to fit with the Obama image. So that's just what I thought would be interesting to talk about, and I'm sure that you'll have some things to talk about as well. The number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. And if you'd like to send us a message on the email, that's talk@WPR.org. Talk@WPR.org for you to join our All Things Political. Evan, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's start with what Senator Feingold had to say about McCain. He was highly flattering of him in an article yesterday. And I'd like to start with this quote. The notion that somehow McCain is going to get in there and be some kind of ideological Newt Gingrich right-winger is a joke. There is no way that he would do that.
Yeah, it's an interesting quote to come from Feingold.
Yeah.
And in some sense, you know, that's one of the things that McCain has had a little trouble imparting to the general electorate. On one hand, he doesn't want to alienate conservative voters, evangelical voters, people who want someone more conservative and a little bit, and someone who might stick to a lot of the Bush agenda from the past 7.5 years. And so he doesn't want to lose them, but at the same time, he's trying to wink and at least send a message to independent voters, to conservative-leaning Democrats that, you know, look, I'm all right. I'm not going to do crazy stuff if I were able to beat Barack Obama. So he has a little trouble imparting that, and I think what Feingold said ought to help, frankly.
Yeah, I would think so also. On the other hand, Senator Kerry is saying that the McCain of 2008 is unrecognizable from the McCain of just a couple years ago. He's changed overnight into a George Bush nominee with the Karl Rove campaign. Do you think that's sticking?
You know, and that's the that is a harder thing for the Democrats to do, and that's clearly one reason why you see the polls saying what they're saying in the last couple of weeks. I think the Democrats are having a hard time making it stick that McCain is as scary as, say, you know, the Karl Rove Bush period, mm-hmm. for the general electorate and for Democratic voters. You know, it's not. I don't think it's sticking very well. And the truth is that McCain has had to take some more conservative positions. He's had to go back on some of his maverick stands in order to try to make sure he keeps at least some of the Republican base. I mean, after all, you know, it's far easier to keep those people than to try to go find new voters to win to your side. You know, it's always the case with every election. So I think that's one of the things that's very key for him.
Mm-hmm. And let's look at these numbers for a moment. The reports are saying that McCain is smiling about them because all of the polls are showing that Obama appears to be ahead by 3 points, but it's really a statistical dead heat, and this was supposed to be the year for the Democrats. What's going on?
Oh, it's still the year of the Democrats. I mean, it's you know, on at least 7 Senate seats are going to go. You know, it appears from what we can tell from the some of the different races that are going on. You know, they're looking very comfortably at a pickup of 6-7 seats, and that's from people who are being conservative. And so it's still very much a Democratic year. And what the, you know, obviously. There are a lot of states. There are a lot of places in the country where people are very comfortable voting Democratic for Senate, for House of Representatives. But when it comes to the presidential ballot, a lot of them go the other direction, and that's been the case for the past few years, for the past few elections. And very much, what you're seeing is that people are, you know, one of my colleagues, Jerry Seib, the editor in Washington, wrote a story a couple weeks ago in which he said very much that this isn't a referendum on a Barack Obama. And I think that's very much the case.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's beginning to be, as some have noted, kind of an Obama fatigue in the country, that people are getting tired of seeing his many commercials, seeing the press focus on him as much as they do?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, I mean, you know, some of the initial enthusiasm has probably worn off just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, though, a lot of people are not focusing on the election. I mean, people in, there are a lot of people who read and breathe politics
yes.
around the country, and certainly in Washington, where I live, it's everywhere, and mm-hmm. that's what you talk about every day. But in so much for the rest of the country, people haven't started focusing on this yet, and they won't for another month or so, month and a half.
Oh, Evan, isn't that hard to believe? I
yeah.
feel like we've been covering it, and we have for years now.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, and I think also, this is a year, okay, that there's a lot of discomfort with polling. I do think those polls are accurate in the sense that the polling organizations know from the voters they normally canvass and sample. It's accurate. But one of the things that Obama's campaign is talking about, and one of the things that they're trying to one of its bedrock strategies is to turn to all these new voters, and there are signs that they're having an incredible number of new voters, particularly African American, a lot of new young voters. The issue for Obama is to make sure that those folks show up.
Mm-hmm.
These polls are very legitimate because they reflect. What pollsters know about the behavior in the past of voters. If Obama's right, then you know there's all these new voters that aren't being sampled, that aren't part of the picture that polls take, and there's this big surprise out there.
Mm.
The past has told us that some of those voters don't show up, despite their enthusiasm, and we'll see, I guess.
What do you think? Is he right?
He's right to a certain extent. I mean, the enthusiasm among African American voters, in particular, is something that has not been seen in decades. I mean, you're talking about an electorate that, roughly 50% of them are registered, and it's a much smaller participation rate among African Americans than among white voters. And so, for the first time, most of them will say for the first time ever, many of them will say that, for the first time ever, they will have something that they want to participate in. A lot of African American voters have fallen out of the system simply because, after the Civil Rights Movement and so on, the enthusiasm sort of waned.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, Evan, it is a really big deal that the Democrats have an African-American candidate. Every now and then I think about that, and I realize how enormous that is. It's a very big deal, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's a remarkable thing. I mean, you know, a lot of country, you know, for the past few years, and this is not only under the Bush period, but under even under Clinton, there was a certain amount of, you know, if you saw, you know, the way the U.S. was perceived in the way it handled the conflict in Rwanda or the way it handled the Bosnian wars, you know, and in certainly in the way we've approached free trade and so on. Going back to Clinton, there's been a little bit of a disappointment around the world in the United States, and almost sort of believing that that we're not standing up for the principles that we've always espoused. And so, the Obama candidacy, whether or not he wins, it's a remarkable thing because you know, it sort of says to the world so much about that the U.S. really does stand for a lot of the principles of democracy and equality and so on that we've always we've gone around the world preaching. We've tried to tell countries that you know having a diverse population is a good thing. You know, in a lot of countries that's a cause for problems, as you know. I think this is a really great year for America in that way.
Mm-hmm. Back to Feingold for just a moment before we go to phone calls. I was talking about that blog that I was reading. And the blogger said, we're going to get Senator Russ Feingold will be, and this guy said it a year ago, the nominee for vice president, that it fits in with the whole image of Obama being an outsider, that Senator Feingold is respected as McCain is. He's certainly has stronger positions on issues, I think, and is much to the left of McCain and probably of Obama. But this blogger made the point that Carolyn Kennedy is the VP vetter. Russ Feingold, along with McCain, recipients of the John F. Kennedy Profile and Courage Award. She was part of that decision, and clearly she has a high regard for Feingold. I'm sure he is very much on her radar. I haven't heard too many people talk about this. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's probably a long shot, simply because one of the things that Obama needs to do is to assure people that he is perhaps a little bit more middle of the road. I think a lot of voters want someone on some of these issues to be on some of the national security issues in particular to be middle of the road. Feingold, who is one of the smartest people up there in Washington, is and I've followed some of what he's done. Covering some of the national security issues, you know, is to the left of Obama on, for example, surveillance issues, which, you know, was a big deal. Certainly, you know, having Obama sort of go to the move to the position where whereby he supported the new Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act rewrite that just passed a couple weeks ago was a major step for the Obama campaign. I think they wanted to just remove this issue from something that the Republicans can hammer over his head, you know, come October, November. So it's one of those things that, you know, if you put Feingold next to him, you know, it'll remind everyone of how, you know, off left, you know, the Democrats can be on some of these issues. And it scares, frankly, it just scares a lot of the middle part of the country, a lot of the middle the spectrum voters. It obviously bolsters the left side of the
right.
party, but it'll make nervous some of the right leaning voters who are, for example, considering Obama and think that he is quite safe.
Mm-hmm. We're going to welcome phone calls for you, Evan, and we'll take them in just a moment. Evan Perez is our guest, reporter for the Washington Bureau of the Wall Street Journal. It's all things political, and we're welcoming your phone calls. A couple of lines are open right now if you'd like to join us. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. And if you'd like to send an email, that address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Evan Perez is our guest. He is a reporter for the Washington Bureau of the Wall Street Journal. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, 414-227-2050. And we go to Dan from White Lake first. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I like Russ Feingold. I like being from Wisconsin, where we're the only state in the union that's got two Jewish senators. It shows you there's a Wisconsinites have some brains. However, Russ is a little too far to the left, and Obama has to come back toward the center a little bit to win the election. Do not forget that although the religious right may have suffered some hits in the Schiavo case and so forth, there's no stake through their heart. The entire South and much of the West is in that camp that ranges from mere white evangelical Protestants, 55% of whom favor bringing religion into politics, who are hoping for theocracy, right on through to the Reconstructionists who think that the Constitution should be amended. We had a survey done here in the last week or two in Wisconsin that said 73% of the respondents said that they don't think the country is going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody asked how many of them have that opinion because we haven't reversed Roe versus Wade. We haven't illegitimized abortion totally in this country. And we haven't done all those numerous... We haven't put prayer back in the schools. We haven't done all of those extreme right-wing conservative things. And how many of those people think we're not going in the right direction because we have not concluded enough disaster in the Middle East to bring back Armageddon and the second coming of Christ and the rapture so that they can go to heaven and leave their Jewish pals behind? That's a large chunk of the population.
Evan.
Well, yeah, this is something that, I mean, the caller raises an important point. I think, obviously, there is a little bit in the religious conservative vote. There is a little bit of a distance between them and McCain. A lot of them are unenthusiastic, and perhaps, you know, many of them are. If the caller is referring to, you know, polls that take a snapshot of how people view what direction the country is going, there are some of those folks who probably are reflecting, you know, religious views. A lot of them, however, I think are more. The economic situation in the country is probably the biggest driver of the opinion of people who answer those polls. And so, from the standpoint of Obama, Obama has done some very interesting things. He's shown up at religious conventions and essentially proposed programs that are similar to the Bush administration's programs to allow religious organizations to play a role in perhaps doing some social aid policies to get government funding. It's something that, if you recall, was very controversial at the beginning of the Bush administration. Under Obama's administration, he says he would pursue some of the same policies, and it's a very interesting move on his part because it's clearly a move to assure some of those religious voters that he is not anti-religion. As a matter of fact, obviously, when he was a community organizer in Chicago, he worked with churches. I mean, but part of his funding was through religious organizations, and so he has a history and a comfort level, perhaps, with some of these organizations that a lot of Democrats maybe don't have and haven't shown in the past. And that's one of the reasons why the religious voters have been estranged from the Democratic Party. I mean, there's a certain amount of disrespect that both sides show each other. Obama's trying to break that, and it's an interesting move on his part. I'm not sure how successful he'll be. Mm-hmm. After all, he is not going to agree with them on the big issue of abortion. But I guess he's one of the things he's betting is that perhaps, you know, there's some Catholics, there's some moderate Protestants out there who normally would not look at the Democrat, but you know, looking at some of the things that he's proposing, might feel a little bit better about him.
Hmm. And what about those evangelical conservative voters? They can't be wildly excited about McCain.
No,
what are they going to do?
No, they're not. And a lot of them are going to stay home. I mean, that's one
really?
Of the that's one of their that's one of the McCain campaign's fears, and that's one of the reasons why he tries so often, every so often, to try to reassure them. You know, there's a lot of them that just are not going to show up. They're not going to show up in the way that that they showed up for President Bush. It's in some ways there are certain things. There's some things that maybe McCain can't do really about it. And a lot of them are disappointed because even though they had one of their guys in the White House, you know, they didn't get their way in a lot of things. And so, you know, they didn't complete the revolution that a lot of them had hoped would be completed. So there's some disaffection, and McCain has shown in the past a little bit of disdain for the right side of his party, the evangelical voters. So maybe some of them will never be won over. The issue for some of the people in the camp in the McCain campaign is to at least make them motivated, perhaps if not to vote for McCain, at least maybe show up to vote against Obama.
Thanks, Dan, very much for your call. Let's go to Martin from Milwaukee. Hi, Martin.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling with a comment and a challenge to public radio in particular. I am a voter, and you're talking about disaffected voters. Will they show up? Will new voters show up? I would say as long as the media, including public radio, continually reports on politics as though this were a horse race or a sporting event, no, it doesn't generate interest. We're continually told what we, the American people, think and how we are likely to vote. It really just generates, am I going to vote for the right or the winning candidate? I would use as an example Senator Feingold. We're told he's much too far left for middle America. That would be bad. Yet in 2004, Senator Feingold got more votes in the state of Wisconsin than any elected official ever in the history of Wisconsin. I guess the residents of Wisconsin, who are not, by and large, ultra-liberals, didn't listen to the polls and actually did what Senator Feingold asked, which was read his position papers. He got out and talked to people, said what his positions were, and didn't tell us what the polls. I would love it if for the rest of this program and every program you are on, you could stop saying, this is what the American people want. This is what they think. This is what the majority. It really just makes people think, am I voting for the winning candidate? Am I putting my money on the right horse? That's my comment. I will continue to listen.
Thanks, Martin, for the call. Evan?
The call is right in the sense that a lot of the political coverage that is that is done in this country, and that it particularly is, you know, is for TV, especially, and some of the talk radio. You know, it does tend to focus on the race in particular. But as I mentioned before, I mean, obviously, one of the things about this year, and I think we can't say it enough, is that we have a very unconventional candidate. Obviously, there's not who would ever think, you know, as Senator Obama likes to say, that anyone in central casting would pick a candidate like him. So there is something new here this year, and obviously with McCain as well. I mean, McCain has a history of bucking his own party, and obviously wasn't the choice back in 2000. They picked George Bush over him on his party. So you have a situation where there is a little bit of unknown, and I think putting too much faith into the polls is a little bit tricky this year. And that's one of the reasons why I mentioned that earlier in the program. And the caller's right. I mean, obviously, we ought to try to remind ourselves of that and try not to tell people what to think and perhaps just report what we see.
Mm-hmm. And maybe one of the problems that McCain is facing, if he is facing problems, because it's showing that he's doing okay right now, somebody commented on the fact that he isn't the same McCain as he was in 2000, which I think was true. He seemed to be having a much better time in the year 2000. And this bipartisanship, this McCain-Feingold bill that they worked on together, and Feingold commented, it was one of the best professional experiences of his life. This bipartisanship that both of them did, I think, is something that the American people, for the most part, applauded. They want that. They're looking for that right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things that Obama gets, to borrow from what McCain does, because obviously McCain is well known for some of his bipartisan work, working with Senator Kennedy on the immigration, for example, last year, which almost, as you know, almost cost him, mm-hmm. His candidacy in the Republican nomination. One of the things that is interesting about both these candidates is that Obama shows up in the Senate, and one of the things he tries to do is to show some of this bipartisanship. He has run ads in which he talks about working with Senator Lugar of Indiana on foreign policy issues, you know, dealing with nuclear weapons, nuclear proliferation. And so both of these candidates, and Obama is definitely trying to borrow some of what McCain has already established about himself, and that is to show that there is this, that they both have this ability to work across party lines, and to find some agreement. Obama was trying to do the same thing last week when he suddenly suggested that he'd be all right with perhaps some expansion of off-coast oil drilling, because the way he saw it was there was a bill that had been proposed by a group of senators, by a group of Republican and Democrats in Congress, who wanted to find some kind of middle compromise that would open up some new areas for oil drilling, but at the same time do some more programs to try to address the issue of energy conservation in this country. And Obama quickly jumped on that. I mean, mm-hmm. it was so quick mm-hmm. that McCain didn't even know that he had moved his position a bit. And so it's one of those things that you see that both these candidates are trying to do, because they see that, I think, that a lot of Americans are kind of tired of the partisanship, especially for the past 7
right.
years.
And on the other hand, though, you wonder if they're holding true to their positions, because both the candidates were opposed to that kind of drilling not that long ago.
Right. Apparently flip-flopping is in this year.
I guess so. Yeah. Thanks, Martin.
Apparently this year it's not so bad.
Yeah. Thanks very much for the call, Martin. Let's go to Jim from Milwaukee next. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. As a quick aside, I'd just say the guy that called in and thought that Obama was to the left, whatever he's smoking, I'd like to get some of it for myself, because the only liberals out there are the people that want to hold Bush and the Republicans responsible, and that doesn't include Obama. Secondly, through my family, I'm aware of a situation of a neighbor of my family, one of my children out, that is in a situation where a divorce may come upon the family, and the kid has been witnessed saying, you know, Dad, don't leave. The kid has said that the kid manipulates at the age of 6. The kid is starved for attention, and you can see the many harms that have been inflicted by the marital strife in the family. And I just mention that because John Edwards' behavior, of course, is reprehensible, even though it's not going to result in divorce. And McCain, if you go McCain first marriage, if you Google that on the net, you can see that the children in the situation were hurt by the divorce. And, you know, the thing that bothers me is that if the media was so liberal, why isn't McCain being held accountable for his behavior, just like Edwards, and rightfully so, is being held accountable for his behavior? And it's really disappointing, and it proves to me that the media is not liberal in this country.
Evan?
I think what the caller is referring to is some of the issues that came about after McCain returned from being held captive in Vietnam, being tortured in Vietnam. I think there were some very difficult family issues, which McCain has wrote about himself. I think he had a ghostwriter help him with a book that describes some of these issues. I think he himself has been pretty forthcoming on some of these issues that affected his family. I mean, it's one of those things that I don't know what. I believe this is what I got from the caller's question or comment. It's one of those things that, you know, I mean, McCain gets a lot of credit, necessarily, you know, rightly so, for what he endured, and perhaps, you know, if there were some missteps when he got back, you know, you can maybe understand some of them mm-hmm. happening.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. The Edwards thing is just, he just hated when somebody gets out there and denies something and denies it, and his whole emphasis on lifting the poor, it just damages his message so much, and plus his wife is just one terrific human being. It doesn't settle well, that story, does it?
No, it doesn't. Maureen Dowd in the New York Times this weekend took aim at one particular part of John Edwards' statement. It's a statement where I think a lot of people's reaction when they first heard this is, "Oh my God, how could he do this? He, mm-hmm. his wife is dying. She has terminal cancer." And I think in answer to that, Edwards attempted to say was trying to explain, saying, "Well, this happened while the cancer was in remission."
Right, exactly.
As if that makes it better. Maureen Dowd put it, it was an oncologically correct explanation. Not the politically correct, and certainly not the sensible statement. I don't know what he was thinking in putting that in. And he makes reference to his narcissism, and I think that was one of the things that came out in that statement. I think he's still suffering from it. Obviously, it was a very bad decision on his part. It may, you know, there might be some more to this. I mean, obviously, his program that he was pushing at that time, which was an anti-poverty program, turns out to be ends up being the means through which he pays for this woman to be on his staff and right. has this affair. It paints him in such a bad light, in the sense that the hypocrisy is worse perhaps than just the fact that he had an affair. I mean, this is something that mm-hmm. goes to the very heart of his message about, you know, poverty and so on.
Right. Let's go to an email. I'm surprised I haven't heard more speculation about Bill Richardson for vice president. To me, he's got so much to offer: foreign affairs, legislative, gubernatorial experience, Latino, Western, centrist, et cetera, et cetera. Why wouldn't he be a great choice?
You know, there's a lot of people who believe that Richardson would be a great choice. I mean, Bill Richardson is a very charming person. He's very knowledgeable about foreign affairs. He's traveled the world. He's got credibility with some governments that don't particularly like the United States, like North Korea, for example, and Venezuela, that perhaps would be invaluable to a future administration, as it was in the past. I think, you know, there is, it's not clear necessarily why he wouldn't rise to the top from an Obama standpoint. Obama has described that he wants somebody who's more of an outsider outside of Washington. I think one of the places that he really is hoping to win is Virginia, which is why there's been so much focus on Governor Kaine of Virginia. So I think it might not be that Richardson isn't a good choice. It's that just that, you know, from a standpoint of Obama, there might be more of a feeling that others might be even better.
Mm-hmm. And what about McCain? What thoughts do you have now about what his thoughts are about where he's going with his choice?
You know, it's been so much focus on the Obama choice,
right,
because of the belief that, you know, it could fill in a portion of his candidacy that is not there yet. That some of the attention on McCain has kind of fallen by the wayside. Obviously, there's still a lot of focus on Governor Jindal of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of discussion of various other possible choice is Pawlenty of Minnesota. And I think, you know, there's in either case, any of those cases, I mean, nobody that jumps out as somebody really, exciting, particularly, you know, overly exciting in the sense that perhaps Jindal would be really a big move, but a lot of people don't really think that one simply because he's, you know, so young. I mean, you put him next to McCain and he looks like his grandchild.
Right. He looks young anyhow, doesn't he? He looks like he's in his early 20s.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, well, Romney is the guy who's all over the television set. Is it Romney? And the two didn't hit it off very well on the campaign trail, but is he the guy, maybe?
Romney would probably be one of the best choices from the standpoint of completing some economic credentials for the McCain campaign. The issue with Romney is that he, as you know, had some trouble with the evangelical voters and some of the religious portion of the Republican Party and a religious base of the Republican Party, and he had some trouble, and I don't know that those troubles would have gone away. And if you're thinking of, you know, if you're in the mind of those folks, right, you're looking at McCain, who you're not particularly thrilled about. So you're thinking, okay, maybe in 48 years, you know, at least we have this other guy lined up, queued up.
Right.
do you really want to go with somebody who you weren't thrilled about either?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jim, thanks so much for the call. Let's pause for a moment and return. All Things Political is what you're listening to here on the Ideas Network. Evan Perez is our guest, reporter for the Washington Bureau of the Wall Street Journal. We have one line open if you'd like to grab it, 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. And the email address is talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program this Monday, we will talk about hyper-parenting. All right, let's go to Jim from La Crosse. Hi, Jim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I am an evangelical, and I will be showing up to vote for McCain. He wasn't my first choice, but the alternative of Barack Obama is very frightening to me. I got a comment and a question. I guess my question, I'll start first, is Barack Obama ever going to, and when is he going to sit down and have a debate on the town hall meeting format? It's my understanding that he doesn't really like that format all that well, and McCain kind of really does good in that kind of a format. And when I watch Barack Obama, I do see that, you know, he gives tremendous speeches. He's an awesome speech giver. But when he gets off of the prompter and he's talking, I've seen him struggle numerous times once he gets off of that. And it's my understanding, too, is that he really kind of barricades himself. It's extremely hard for the media to go up and ask him just questions that are just right off, without it being scripted. And my last thing is just one of the reasons why I'm really concerned about Barack Obama. I think it's extremely scary when you get a candidate or a party that starts to promise wealth redistribution. Sorry, I can't say that all that well. Because once you start promising people that the government's going to take care of all your problems, like when I listen to Barack Obama, and, you know, we're going to raise taxes, we're going to increase government spending and increase government programs for you, to me, it's extremely scary because all these people that it's like, oh, I don't have to work. I can just, you know, the government's going to take care of me. I don't have to work to get health care. And to me, it's scary. And there you go.
All right. Thanks for your call, Evan.
Well, I mean, the caller is pointing out to one of the things about the Obama campaign that that is a remarkable thing. It's a very well organized, very well orchestrated campaign, and I think you're seeing that the McCain campaign has started to take a few steps in that direction as well. They've reined in the amount of time that McCain has to just be asked random questions, because McCain, like any candidate, every candidate, when they're in these unscripted moments, there's always a high possibility that they might say something that isn't on message or that they might wish they had said a little differently later on. So the Obama campaign has always been that way. They've all been very orchestrated. They've been very careful about when they answer questions from the media. It's a very big frustration for members of media who cover Obama because he doesn't have that availability. McCain has moved in that direction, actually, in the last few weeks, and it's been very frustrating for the media as well on his plane and on his buses. And, you know, they make no apologies. They say as you get closer to the election, you know, the stakes are higher. If a candidate says something, you know, that becomes like a gotcha moment, it gets replayed on YouTube immediately, almost instantaneously, and then gets played on a loop, you know, on the 24-hour cable network. So, you know, from the standpoint of the campaigns, I mean, they feel like they have no choice. I mean, they don't want to necessarily curtail access, but that's one of the issues. As for the wealth redistribution, I'm not sure that's what Obama's talked about. I'm not sure that anybody has talked about that issue per se. One of the things that he's proposed, obviously, is to restore or to increase taxes on some of the high earners in this country to help pay for tax cuts for people who make who have lower wages, and that's obviously a big difference and a big issue, you know, that separates the two candidates. And I think voters will have to decide which one is a better idea. I'm not sure that both sides have explained fully the details of their plans for people to make informed decisions. I think obviously in the debates that are coming up, they'll have plenty of chances to do that.
Right. Who is the, I read an article about him too, and now his name escapes me. Who's the pastor who's having the two of them come to answer his questions for an hour? How did he, do you remember the guy's name and how he accomplished this feat of having Obama and McCain talk about, I don't know, I guess it's the meaning of life, the meaning of politics, the meaning of the presidency.
You know, I don't know the reference you're talking about. I know, obviously, they both have been doing conversations with religious leaders. Some religious leaders will have nothing to do with Obama, no matter what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, some religious folks don't want to hear necessarily what McCain has to say, depending on where they are politically. So I'm not sure which one that is.
Hmm. Yeah, it'll come to me, but probably when I'm off the air, or some of the listeners will pick up on that. Thank you. It's Pastor Rick Warren. Thank you, John,
right,
from Lake Forest. And do you know when the event is, John? He's writing it down. August 16th. It's this week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Huh.
Well, Rick Warren, as you know, he's a very,
right,
very big deal in evangelical circles. But he's surprised a lot of people by being so open to Obama from the beginning and Hillary Clinton from the beginning. I mean, he's tried to, I think he's one of the people who has tried to say that this estrangement, between one of the major political parties and religious voters is not a good thing for either side. And he's one of the people who's tried to bring forth this idea that, you know, we ought to listen to,
mm-hmm,
to each other and so on. And so, you know, it's a very interesting idea that he's proposed. And obviously, because he has been more open and more welcoming of the Democrats, I think they've responded. They've wanted to show up, perhaps, and hear him out.
Right. Luba is next from Madison. Hi, Luba.
Hi. I have some comments to make, and first of all, I want to say that I've been a Republican all of my life until the Gulf Wars. That's number one. And there was a reader to the newspaper that differentiated Republicans from Democrats, and the comment made was Republicans borrow and spend, and Democrats tax and spend. And there was an article in the New York Magazine this spring about McCain, and it was a very fair article. But I noted three things. Number one, McCain voted against extending the leave of military people before they went back to Iraq. Number two, he voted against the GI Bill for the military soldiers. And number three, and I'm a little shaky on this, but I remember there were three points. It may have been against increasing the medical budget for veterans. And that's all I have to say. And so you know where I stand.
Thank you, Lila.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Evan?
Right. This was a very problematic thing for the set of legislative proposals for the McCain campaign. They clearly it was a position where they knew that they were going to get some extensive criticism, and yet he stuck with his point of view that he thought on one hand. The GI Bill and some of the proposals that Obama supported were, he thought, McCain thought, in the long run, were going to do some harm to the ability of the military to retain some of its most experienced soldiers. Obviously, it's a very emotional thing, and nobody will say that McCain necessarily is unpatriotic or that he doesn't care about military veterans. But it was an issue where, for some reason, Obama was able to win over a lot of Republican support. There was a lot of Republican support for the bill, and in the sense, the view was that yes, it might have some impact, but it was more important to offer some of these benefits, to increase the benefits, especially the educational benefits, to soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to an email. Adam from Green Bay. I find it interesting that Russ Feingold would be considered too liberal in some areas such as FISA, which is antithetical to conserving our constitutional rights. Right-wing or conservative seems no longer to connect to a broader sense of conservatism.
He points to a very interesting development in the debate over FISA. As we wrote about this in the last, it dragged on for over a year. One of the things that remained remarkable was the idea that was the fact that you had some of the people on the left who didn't like this bill, and some people on the right who are sort of the libertarian bent. Bob Barr, who was obviously, as you recall, a prominent Republican congressman who figured large in the impeachment of President Clinton, he is now the presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, and he was among several conservatives. There were some Republicans among them who campaigned against FISA for exactly those reasons, the reasons the caller is talking about. The most problematic thing for that bill was the issue that, you were having a Congress provide legal immunity for the actions of telecom providers who helped out the Bush administration, right after 9/11. They launched this this wiretapping program that wasn't within the law, wasn't within the FISA law, and now they wanted to provide legal immunity for those actions of the telecom providers, and yet they've never provided a full accounting of what exactly the program was about. So it was a very unusual situation where you have Congress providing legal protection for something they still don't know the full story of. And that was one of the most difficult things, and people like Bob Barr and people on the left like Feingold had a big problem with that.
Right. Time for maybe one more phone call. Mark from Romance. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. See, this past week we had the second vandalization of our local Democratic Party headquarters here in a month. On the first occasion, there were spray-painted messages about John McCain being a veteran. In the second, those messages were repeated, but then what was added was some truly vile racist comments using the N-word. And this was right on Main Street in Viroqua. And I'm just wondering if this isn't a harbinger of things to come in the campaign, and if the McCain campaign would speak out against this kind of racism.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've heard already some instances where the McCain campaign has joined the Obama campaign condemning some of the most outrageous things that have happened. I mean, there were some instances down in Florida where some racist statements were spray painted on cars and so on. It doesn't seem like these things are perhaps, you know, are necessarily commonplace in the sense that, you know, I think the country has gotten to a position where obviously there's still a significant part of the electorate that might not be comfortable with Obama because of his race. But, you know, I think in general, I think you'll find that most people don't view that to be, you know, I think, what is it, 10% that shows up in the in the polls. Obviously, that's a big number, but it says something about the country that, you know, you know, it's by and large, you know, most people have no thought about it. I think you probably will expect to, as we get closer to November, you will expect to see some more incidents like that. I don't know that, I don't know what we can do about it necessarily, except, of course, you know, condemn it and speak out about it.
And on that note, we have to say goodbye. It's a good note to end. Thanks, Evan, so much for being with us. I enjoyed the hour.
Thank you.
Thank you. Evan Perez, he's a reporter for the Washington Bureau of the Wall Street Journal. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this program and to John Anderson for on-air production here in Milwaukee and for all of your calls. As always, we thank you. News is coming up from National Public Radio. We'll return with more Monday Conversation. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.